The opening sequence shows a montage of short clips. An information banner gives stock market news and share prices. A man is shown running in a forest, as if being pursued by someone. The name Ethical Finances appears predominantly. A black Maserati car stops in front of a smart, glass-fronted office building. The running man in the forest is being watched as a video clip on a laptop.
BBVD Capital has advised clients to batten down the hatches for a worldwide financial storm.
Good morning, sir. Jamie Stewart is here for his interview. Yes, yes, of course. Go on up, Jamie. Alistair, we'll see you now.
A sign on the outside of the building shows it's the offices of Ethical Finances. The job applicant, Jamie Stewart, walks along a corridor to the office of Alistair Raskolnikov.
Why you and not them?
Because I wanted more.
Why?
I'm ambitious.
Clearly.
And loyal.
Good.
I get things done. I'm quiet.
Quiet? Like a mouse?
No.
Like a snake.
When I have to be.
The video clip of the running man finishes and reads game over.
And you're sure you can do this?
When does it start?
It started.
British Sky Broadcasting, with independent Straight Jacket Creations, Scottish Screen and Screen East Content Investment Fund, presents in association with Lip Sync Productions and Glasgow Film Office, an independent film production of Richard Jobson's film, Newtown Killers. Featuring Dougray Scott as Alistair Raskolnikov, Alistair McKenzie as Jamie Stewart, James Anthony Pearson as Sean MacDonald, Liz White as Alice MacDonald, and Charles Mean as Sam. Late at night, in a suburb of Edinburgh, Sean MacDonald is free-running along the rooftops of a parade of shops. His friend Sam runs along with him in the street below. Sean climbs over a guardrail and stands on a small parapet wall, looking down on a canvas shop awning. Sam looks up at Sean. As a man runs along the roof towards him, Sean kisses the pendant around his neck and jumps. He slides off the awning onto a wheelie bin and rolls into the road. Sam quickly scoops him up out of the path of a passing car. The car driver stops and gets out. The boys race up a long, narrow flight of steps between the buildings.
Saved your life, man!
Whoa. I'm gonna have one of them.
Aye, the Lord Sam of the New Town.
That's right, kiss my ring, child.
Dream on.
I'm serious, if you're nice, I might have you round for dinner.
Aye, beans on toast.
Oh, laugh, my friend, but I've got plans. Get rich plans.
I think you forgot something, Sam.
No, I haven't. I've got a job. I am a successful, self-employed entrepreneur. No tax, cash in hand.
More like cock in hand.
Maybe you should try it. One night on the hill?
No way.
Close your eyes, get the first one over with. Sean MacDonald! Yay for pay!
No way, man, there's no way that's happening.
We'll see, player.
Evening.
What are you two up to? Eh? What are you doing around here?
Talking about we always come this way.
Don't.
But we always come...
But nothing. Stay away from here.
You just get back down the hole you came from. Comprende?
Wankers.
Comprende?
Shit.
Listen, Sam, I'm going to go get an early night. I've got an interview tomorrow.
A job? You're joking.
Nope. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to hang out a bit longer. See you later, yeah?
Sam walks away. Sean then makes his way home. Sean walks along a dimly lit street on the way back to the housing estate where he lives with his sister Alice. A black car drives along slowly behind him in the distance. He glances over his shoulder at it, then climbs a short flight of steps and meets a local homeless man with his dog.
Hey, a mouse.
He pets the dog briefly and continues on his way. He meets an elderly neighbour outside her door in the block of flats where he lives.
You all right?
I thought it was the police. I called them about the noise. No, they've not come. Thank you. How's your sister? I hardly ever see her.
Alice is... Alice.
Sean takes two bags of rubbish to the chute room for the elderly lady. The driver of the black car is parked at the front of the block of flats. He throws the bags of rubbish down the chute, then goes to his flat. Once inside, he pours himself a fizzy drink. He looks at photographs in the room of him and Alice as young children with their mother. He goes across to the window and spots the black car parked at the front. He rinses his hands under the kitchen tap.
Alice!
She has left a note on the door that reads, "Have gone to New Club Hysteria. Come and join us." He pulls the note down and goes into her room and immediately spots her new jacket hanging up. Outside, a shot approaching the front door of the flat along the landing is shown. Inside, Sean takes a sweet from a jar and puts it in his mouth. He goes over to his sister's bed and finds an envelope under her pillow. He takes the letter out. It's stamped in large red letters, "Final Demand." Outside, a shot of the door handle. Sean puts the letter back under the pillow. He then finds a pregnancy test kit in her room.
I've got five lovely ladies who want to be.
Sean watches TV. A news flash shows the running man lying dead in the forest.
Early indications suggest a man in his late teens has been killed by one clean gunshot to the back of the head. If anyone can assist in identifying...
A blurry image of a man walking away from the front door of the flat is shown. The next morning, Sean wakes up on the settee with the TV still on. He answers the front door.
I'm looking for Alice.
She's not here.
She is.
No, told you.
It's all right, Sean.
When do you get back?
Wait.
You look rough.
Thanks.
Who's she?
Just let her in, Sean.
The smartly dressed, dark-haired woman comes in and goes into Alice's room. Sean listens into the conversation by the door.
They're very serious people, Alice. And they want it back. Every penny you've borrowed.
When?
Tomorrow.
How can I do that? I've already given you everything I have this week. I can't get any more.
Get them on your side.
What do you mean? How do you do that?
Do something for them. Small job. Something easy. Do it well, Alice, and you never know. Have you ever been to Amsterdam? It's really lovely. They need something picking up. Something small. Nothing to worry about. You could go tomorrow morning. I think if you did that, they would look upon your situation very differently.
What was she asking you to do?
Don't.
How much do you owe?
Stop it!
How much does she owe you?
A lot.
Please stop it, Sean.
The think about what I said, Alice. It won't be me next time. You do realise that, don't you?
The loan shark leaves. Alice avoids eye contact with Sean.
Fuck's sake, Alice, I told you.
Tell me what?
I told you to stop spending money you don't have. How much you owe? Tell me.
Stop it.
No. No, Alice. How much?
I'm not a child, Sean.
Well, maybe you should stop acting like one. How fucking much?
But, Joanna...
Have you got any understanding of what she's talking about? Or what she actually wants you to do? It's not a game, Alice. You know, she's not kidding. She fucking meant it. How much? Fucking tell me, Alice. How much?
£8,000.
And the credit card bill.
Sean watches out of the window as the loan shark gets into a blue Alfa Romeo car with her shaven-headed minder.
You owe £12,000.
Oh, shit. I tried to pay it back. They just kept giving me more money. See, it was no problem, no hassle. That I could take my time paying it back. And now this...
He sits down on the bed next to Alice. She puts her head on his shoulder. He wraps his arm around her.
Think about what Mum would have done. And do the opposite. You're not going to Amsterdam, Alice. No way.
Sean stands in the busy kitchen of an upmarket restaurant in the city.
You. You're late. Come with me.
Sean follows the smartly dressed young manager.
Keep this place sparkling clean and keep your mouth shut. I'll be back to check. Remember, I've got 100 Poles who want this job, and they're cheaper.
I thought I was here to be a waiter.
He leaves Sean in the restaurant's clean, modern and prestigious gents' toilets. Sean puts on a white jacket and a pair of white shoes, left for him by the manager. He familiarises himself with his new place of work. He opens the door ajar and looks out at businessmen and women sitting at tables eating and drinking. Quickly becoming bored, Sean sits down on an upholstered bench seat and drifts off to sleep. A man enters the room. He takes off his jacket and hangs it on a hook on the wall. He then goes into one of the cubicles. A second person enters. His face is not shown. He wears dark clothes and gloves. He removes the silver cigarette case from the man's jacket and approaches the sleeping Sean. The first man comes out of the cubicle, pulls on his jacket and leaves. A gloved hand turns on a tap at the sink. Sean finally wakes up. The man's face is reflected in the bathroom mirror. Sean approaches him and dutifully brushes down his jacket. Another man enters, dressed in a long dark coat. He's Jamie Stewart, the interviewee from Ethical Finances. The man at the wash basin turns off the tap and then speaks to Sean.
Of your time. We're here to make a proposal, an offer.
He looks worried.
Don't be. It's very simple. We want to play a game. We offer you this.
£1,000. And then this.
It opens a safety deposit box in the train station, which opens at 9 tomorrow morning. In there is another £11,000.
Which could be yours.
That's right, Sean, yours. All you have to do is hide from 9 p.m. tonight.
What do you mean, hide?
You hide.
We seek.
And if we don't find you...
And you get to keep it.
All of it.
It's yours.
No strings attached.
You'll never see us again.
But if we do find you in those 12 hours, then all you have to do...
is give the money and the key back.
What is this? Who are you? Don't understand.
Take this number. But you must call before 9 o'clock tonight. £12,000, Sean.
That's a lot of money.
Could clear a lot of debt. Get someone out of trouble.
The two men leave. The first man who used the cubicle returns with the manager.
I'm sure I had it when I came in. I took it off, hung it up there, and I went in there.
Have you seen it?
Seen what? A cigarette case.
No use asking him. He was asleep when I came in. Now, the case itself is worthless, but my wife gave it to me years ago. I'm really sorry about this. I maybe left it in the taxi.
Why don't you sit back at your table and I'll have one last look here?
Thank you.
Oh. Empty your pockets.
The manager finds the cigarette case in Sean's jacket pocket.
Shut up.
Get out of my restaurant before I call the police.
He throws the clothes brush at the door. Later, he returns to the flat.
Alice?
A brown envelope with Alice's name on it is pushed through the letterbox. Sean looks outside the front door, but nobody is there. He opens the envelope and finds flight tickets for Alice to Amsterdam. Sean goes to a local pub and speaks to the lady serving behind the bar.
Mary.
Sean.
Is he nice?
I think she's going to see your mum.
He leaves the pub and jogs along the street. He slows up when he spots the female loan shark parked at the roadside with a minder. He finds Alice sitting in the cemetery. They sit next to each other on a bench, looking at a headstone engraved with the following words: Cherished memories of Catherine MacDonald, died 20th of October 2004, aged 49 years. Much loved mother of Alice and Sean.
Just like her. Hopeless.
No, you're not. You're Alice.
What's that?
Later that night, Sean is up on Carlton Hill. Several other boys of his age group are loitering in the area. As he looks out over the city, a middle-aged man in a jacket and tie walks up behind him, holding a small roll of banknotes. Sean sits in the back of the man's car with him. The man reaches out and strokes Sean's face with his fingertips.
Why don't you take your shirt off?
Nervously, Sean takes off his jacket, then pulls his T-shirt off over his head.
That's pretty. Where did you get that?
The man admires a stone pendant hanging around Sean's neck on a leather lace. The man pulls Sean's head down onto his lap.
Suck off, you fast fool!
Sean jumps out of the car, puts his shirt and jacket on, then runs away. He takes out his mobile phone and dials a number.
How much you say I'd get at the end of your game?
You sound out of breath. Is everything okay?
How much?
If you win altogether, it would be £12,000. One up front and a key for the rest. Are you in?
And all I have to do is hide?
That's it. That's all you have to do. Are you in?
I'm in.
What's it start? Right now. The key and the money are under the doormat of your sister's flat.
What?
Good luck.
How do you know about the flat? Who the fuck are you?
Sean makes his way back to the flat and finds an envelope containing the money and a locker key under the front doormat. He leaves the block of flats and checks the money in the envelope.
What are you doing?
Calm down. Calm down.
Sorry, man. I thought you were.
Yeah?
Forget it.
Something up?
No. Sorry, man. I'm just not in the mood, okay? Not tonight.
Didn't get the job, then. Hey. What do you think? Pretty crap, huh?
Sam shows him his new trainers.
Fucking hell. Any chance of a smile?
Sean conceals the money in the back pocket of his jeans.
Suit yourself. I'm out of here. You coming?
He shakes his head.
You change your mind, you know where I'll be. Comprende?
Sam walks away. Sean goes to the deserted city bus terminal. He takes a seat in the waiting room. Outside, a bus is parked. Its sign reads Dundee. He sits waiting apprehensively, then glances briefly over his shoulder. When he turns back, a tall, slim girl with long red hair is taking the seat opposite him. She opens a magazine, but notices Sean's agitated state.
Are you all right?
Hi. Fine, thanks.
A sign shows the Dundee bus departing at 23:05.
Do you want one of these?
Yeah, sure.
Keep them. I'm trying to give up smoking, but they don't help.
Thanks.
He puts one of the mints in his mouth. The sign shows the time as 21:23.
I like that thing you're wearing around your neck. It's nice. What is it?
It's a pebble from a beach in Applecross.
Wow. I've heard it's really beautiful. Are you from there? That must have been amazing to have all that space and the sea.
Passengers, I can't wait to get away from here.
Do you mind keeping an eye on my bag for a minute? I need to go to the loo.
My bus goes in a couple of minutes.
I'll be quick.
Sure.
He sits in the girl's seat next to her bags and starts to flick through the magazine she was reading. A sheet of A4 paper falls out. He picks it up and is shocked to see his face on it. He puts the picture down and leaves the bus terminal just as the girl emerges from the toilet. He walks to the nearby train station.
There's been a report of a body near the main line. So all trains coming in and out of the city have been suspended until we can investigate. Sorry, there's nothing more I can say at this stage, but there's no more trains tonight.
It's outrageous, man. It's outrageous. You've got to get your act.
You say that's it.
Sean walks the city streets, keeping to the dark, dimly lit walkways in and around the buildings. He anxiously watches from the shadows as each and every car passes by. From a dark doorway, he looks closely as a familiar black car drives slowly past. He keeps moving. The car makes a U-turn in the street and follows him. Sean looks over his shoulder, then begins to run as the car accelerates after him. The car brakes sharply as Sean makes a dash towards the entrance to his block of flats. The car then pulls away quickly. Sean hurries up the stairwell to his floor. With his back pressed against the wall, he cautiously creeps to the corner of his landing, then pokes his head around. His elderly neighbour comes to her front door and spots him.
Get inside.
As she goes in, Sean sees a tall, dark figure at the other end of the landing. He runs back and frantically presses the button for the lift. The doors open and he jumps in. He repeatedly presses the number 5 button. The doors close just before the man reaches them. The man who paid him to play the game, Alistair Rashkolnikov, is the man pursuing him. He watches the floor indicator for the lift. It shows it's going up. He races to the stairwell and follows it up on foot. As Alistair walks along the landing, a man comes to his front door.
Police, looking for a young guy who ran this way. Have you seen anything?
The man gestures with his eyes the direction Sean had gone in. Alistair opens the door to the chute room and goes inside. He tries the light switch, but it doesn't work. He uses the light from his mobile phone to search the small, dingy, graffiti-covered chute room. He moves slowly towards a large metal water tank, checking every inch of ground with a small pool of light from his phone. He finally returns to the door he entered by. He turns around and catches a glimpse of Sean jumping into the rubbish chute. Sean drops out of the chute into the basement. Alistair gets on his mobile phone as he runs downstairs.
He's in the basement. Get down there.
Jamie Stewart is in the car parked outside the flats. He gets out and runs to the basement. Sean passes Jamie unseen. He stops and looks inside the empty black Maserati car. Jamie stumbles on rubbish in the basement. Sean quietly runs away through the maze of dark footpaths on the estate. Hey. He stops and watches as a gang of local youths walk towards him.
What are you doing, McDonald? Nothing. Who's your sister, by the way? I like her. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
You never answered my question. What the fuck were you doing? I was checking out a car. Maserati.
You taking the piss?
No. I'm telling you. On the street up there, two wankers looked like the only fucking place left it there. I'll show you.
Come on then. After you.
He leads the gang back to the car. Alistair and Jamie return to find the car surrounded by the boys.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Sit on the car. What?
Like this, you mean?
What are you doing here?
Well, we're just going, so.
Go on.
Get him down, man.
Okay.
I want to get to the car.
Going nowhere.
Get him down.
Get out of my way.
The gang leader knocks Jamie to the ground. Sean watches in the background as the boys take pictures on their mobile phones. The leader then approaches Alistair. Alistair punches him in the throat, then stamps on his face. The rest of the gang back off. Jamie gets to his feet as Sean slips away into the darkness. Alistair picks up a wine bottle and hands it to Jamie.
Pick one. Go on, pick one.
The gang turn and start to run away. Jamie hurls the bottle, hitting a boy in the back of the head. The game continues. Sean hurries through a quiet covered walkway in the city. Alistair and Jamie talk in the car.
Do you ever write lists? You know, like things to do, things to see, targets, ambitions, dreams?
Yeah, sometimes, I guess.
Let's play a game of lists. You say something, I add to it. That kind of thing. For example, let's list the things that we hate.
Why hate?
Because we always tell the truth about what we hate. You go first.
Jazz.
Religion.
State agents.
State.
Pedophiles.
Them.
Junkies.
Charity.
Benefits scroungers.
Rapists.
Asylum seekers.
Single pregnant mothers.
Social workers.
Society.
Holla fucking tissues.
Stinking rotten bankers.
Inland fucking revenue.
BB fucking C.
Group of fucking murder.
Whinging overpaid NHS consultants. You lost, Jamie, you lost. Were you worried about what your doctor girlfriend might think? You've got to take the game more seriously. You want to win?
Yes.
At any cost?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
So there's nothing that you wouldn't do to not win?
Within reason?
No, that's bullshit.
Well, everything has a context.
No, it doesn't. It only has a context because you need it to. If you don't care, then it doesn't matter.
Sean stops abruptly in a cobbled street as he spots the Maserati coming straight towards him. Alistair gets out of the car and watches as Sean races down a flight of steps and enters a small old stone pedestrian tunnel.
Go to the exit of the tunnel, I'll follow.
What if I catch him?
Game over.
That's it?
That's right. Like I said, pass the test, the job's yours, it's that simple.
Sean looks back at the brightly lit tunnel entrance and spots Alistair following him.
Sean?
Sean?
Sean moves along in the dark shadows of the tunnel walls.
John?
A homeless man is camped in the tunnel. His dog barks at Alistair. Sean looks back at the commotion and sees Alistair pull out a gun and shoot the dog. The homeless man grabs Alistair's leg. Sean starts to run. As he leaves the tunnel, he looks back to see Alistair running quickly behind him. Sean stops midway on a long flight of steps between buildings at the end of the tunnel. Alistair stops and looks for Sean. Sean angrily kicks a wall. Alistair calls him on his mobile.
Hello, Sean. How are you feeling?
You're doing well. You're winning.
Look across the street.
We're coming.
With no escape in the narrow street, Sean starts to climb a pipe on the side of the building. Alistair breaks open a gate at the bottom of a fire escape and climbs the stairs. Sean jumps onto the fire escape stairs and they both head up to the rooftop. Sean gets to the roof first, with Alistair following close behind. Sean can see Alistair heading towards him, so he searches for an escape route. The neighbouring building is lower, but separated by a narrow street. Sean looks at the gap between the two buildings and the long drop to the ground. He watches as Alistair walks towards him. He looks again at the distance to the neighbouring rooftop. He stares at Alistair, then fixes his gaze on the building across the street. He takes a short run, then leaps off the edge, rolling safely onto the rooftop of the next building. Smiling, Alistair walks to the edge of the roof and looks across at Sean as he gets back on his feet.
I don't want to play anymore!
Too late, Sean. The deal's a deal.
What's that mean? How's it too late? You can have your money back in the key. I don't want it.
What about Alice? She's a fuck-up, Sean. A weight round your neck, a burden, right? She's not worth it.
Fuck off!
Teach her a lesson.
I said fuck off!
No, fuck her, Sean! Fuck your sister! Let her go to Amsterdam.
What? How do you know about that? How do you know everything about me?
Jamie appears on the roof with Sean. Sean clambers over the edge of the roof and scales down the side of the building using pipes and window ledges for his descent. From a window ledge, he taps on a glass pane but doesn't get a response. He shuffles along to a window that opens towards him. He holds onto the frame as he comes around, but the hinges give way and it falls down into the street. He swings precariously as he hangs onto a stone window ledge. He shuffles along using his hands, but eventually loses his grip and drops down into the street. Jamie and Alice race towards him. He jumps up and starts running. He dives into a busy pub and wheezes his way through the drinkers at the bar, followed closely by Alistair and Jamie. A young girl notices the envelope of cash fall from his back pocket.
Excuse me, is this yours?
I think that belongs to me.
Sorry?
I think you'll find that I dropped that.
No, no, it was definitely him.
She gives it to Sean.
Wait a minute, I know you. You're Alistair. Do you not remember me? We went to school together.
Get out of my way.
Sean runs from the pub, pursued by Alistair and Jamie. They follow him down a small side road to a junction with a busy main street, but lose sight of him at that point. They scan in all directions without success, then head back to their car. Sean has entered the club. It's dark and crammed with young rock music fans that have come to watch the live band. He quickly mingles into the heaving crowd. He spots someone passed out on a seat wearing a long red wig. He pulls it off and places it on his own head. He slowly threads his way through the audience and makes his way to the toilets. He watches as a man leaves the grimy toilets. He then locks himself into a cubicle and stands with his back to the door.
Says it here. Check the cubicles.
Alistair and Jamie arrive in the toilets. Alistair has an electronic tracking device in his hands. Jamie pushes open the doors to the cubicles. Alistair gets down on the floor and looks under the only locked cubicle door. Jamie pushes open Sean's door. He has stood against the wall. The door opens onto him, obscuring him from view. A man with a bottle of beer enters the toilets.
Is that William?
You heard the dog?
Aye.
Have a look.
The man gets down on the floor and looks under the door to see the legs of a man and a woman. Jamie stands holding Sean's door open, with Sean squashed in behind it. Jamie and Alistair watch the man enjoying the performance in the locked cubicle.
Let's get out of here. Come on, he must be upstairs.
Sure.
Jamie and Alistair leave. Sean checks through the money in the envelope, then examines the key to the locker. He takes off his black leather jacket and soon finds a small tracking device pinned under the collar. Sean, still wearing his long red wig, returns to the stage area and watches the band. He calls across to someone, also with long hair and a black leather jacket. Alistair walks through the busy club, following the tracker on his handheld screen. In front of him is the youth with long hair and leather jacket that Sean spoke to. Convinced they're following Sean, Alistair and Jamie follow the boy out of the club. The boy walks through a narrow dark alleyway and down a flight of steps. From behind, Jamie grabs his hair and pulls a wig off the boy's head. Alistair appears in front of him.
Who the fuck are you?
Back inside the club, Sean's friend Sam is DJing. Sean then spots the female loan shark and her minder. He grabs the girl and kisses her to avoid being spotted by them. Sam comes over to him.
Having fun?
No. No, I'm not. I need your help.
Alistair gives the boy in the alley a beating.
Fucking hell.
The jacket. Take it off. What's funny?
This kid, he's good.
Go get the car.
Alistair removes the tracker from the jacket. Jamie goes back up the alley. Alistair viciously stamps on the boy's face.
Don't you think you owe me some kind of explanation?
You're just gonna have to trust me, Sam.
Fuck trust, Sean. I was having a good time in there. You pulled me out for some reason, but will tell me where it is. And that's it. The end of my night out. No way. No way. What's going on?
I'm playing a game, okay? It's like a hide-and-seek kind of thing.
What? Sean, stop. I'm your friend. Tell me what's going on.
Sean takes the envelope of cash out of his pocket.
It's a grand. This key opens a locker in the station. There's 11 grand in it. If I can make it till 9 o'clock in the morning, it's all mine. Like I said, it's like a game.
Alistair gives the boy a final kick, then leaves him lying in the alley with his face covered in blood.
They have zero credibility. The Fed is negative.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
In the office, there's a photograph of a woman and a child.
You ask people in the bank about them?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Nothing. Did something happen?
Something.
Something bad.
Yeah. Something bad. They were raped. Had petrol thrown over them. Then there was set alight. They were left to die in an empty field. Two boys, under 16, did it.
Alistair buries his face into his gloved hand, then takes a brief glance from the corner of his eye at Jamie. Back at Sam's flat.
Who's that?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Fuck's sake, Mr. Paranoid. It's people asking why I left the club early. And you know what? I don't fucking know is my reply.
Sorry.
Sure you are.
Listen, Sam, if I give you the money and the key, will you give it to Alice tomorrow?
Why can't you do it?
In case something happens.
What's that supposed to mean?
Will you do this for me?
What makes you think I won't fuck off and spend it? Huh? Toast. Toast, yeah?
It's burning.
Shit. Shit. Shit!
Sam opens a window while Sean plays on a computer game.
Damn! Anyway, getting back to this game. Who are these two men?
Two men?
You said you were hiding from two men. Who are they?
Don't know.
What? They just gave you this money and told you, pick up the rest tomorrow.
Yeah, something like that.
Sam brings a plate of beans on toast over to Sean.
There you go, mate.
I'm sure I didn't tell you it was two men.
What, are you suggesting that I made it up or something?
How else would you know? How did you know it was two men?
Jesus, Sean, you lose the plot, mate. You said it.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I didn't, Sam. I didn't say that. You...
They both look at the front door. Sean quickly snatches Sam's mobile.
What are you doing?
A text on Sam's phone reads, he's at my place.
I
Have you got any idea what they're going to do to me?
Let me go!
Have you got any idea what you've done?
It's just a game, Sean!
Fuck! Not fucking game, sir! They're going to kill me! Do you hear? Fucking kill me!
Sean!
Trusted you!
Sean!
Fuck you!
Sean climbs out through the open window. Alistair kicks open the door.
Where is he?
Sean is on a small ledge that runs around the building. He moves slowly with his back against the wall. He can see the Maserati parked in the street below.
He's gone!
Sean turns the corner of the building. Alistair looks out of the open window, but Sean is out of view.
Where is he?
Alistair kicks Sam in the stomach, then drags him out of the flat. Jamie, waiting by the car, spots Sean up on the ledge. Alistair drags the cut and bleeding Sam back into the flat. Jamie follows him in.
Where is he?
The fuck is going on?
He's not here.
Yeah, he is. He's out there on the ledge. What are you doing?
Get his legs.
What?
Get his legs!
Alistair opens a window. They hang Sam out from it by his legs.
You ready?
Sean tries to retrace his steps back to the window Sam opened. As he turns the corner, he sees Alistair stepping out onto the ledge. Sean is trapped between Sam being held out of the window by Jamie and Alistair working his way towards him along the ledge. He then spots an ambulance in the street below that's just picked up a drunk. As the ambulance passes by, Sean jumps, landing on its roof. He then falls onto the cobbled street, dropping his phone and hitting his head hard, knocking himself out.
Jesus! He fell!
He fucking fell!
What are we gonna do?
What do you want me to do to them?
Owen! Where are you going?
Fuck.
Alistair goes downstairs, leaving Jamie to haul Sam back inside on his own.
Just a game.
Yeah, so did I.
Jamie catches up with Alistair, who watches as the ambulance drives away with Sean on board.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand, Jamie?
I didn't expect something like this would happen. That kid upstairs hanging out the fucking window. This is not what I expected.
Do you want to stop? Let's be clear. The way I work, I win. Always. Maybe working with me is not for you. Maybe you're not up for it.
No.
I am.
Are you? What if the game became more serious? What if we upped the stakes?
Sean wakes up with a start, wide-eyed lying in a hospital bed. Alistair and Jamie search the hospital for him. Sean, in some agony, tries to get out of bed. He is sitting on the edge of his bed when a doctor comes into his ward.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
I need to get up.
No, not yet. We need to keep you here for a while.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
I don't think so. You're very lucky. Nothing more than bruising. Could have been a lot worse.
Where are my clothes?
They're safe in my office. Anyway, you're certainly not going to need them tonight. You're going nowhere. Get some rest. Come on. Okay.
He lies back down in the bed. As soon as the doctor leaves, he sits up and watches her through the open doors. She goes into her office, picks up a clipboard, and then leaves. Sean gets out of bed, then on tiptoes walks to the door. He checks up and down the corridor, then flits across to the doctor's office. He quickly glances around her office. A clock on the wall shows the time as 6:15. He soon finds his clothes neatly folded in a pile. He immediately puts them on. He picks up a framed photo from the desk. It's of the doctor, and the man with her in the picture is Jamie Stewart. He drops the picture onto the desk, then finds a payphone and calls Alice at the flat.
Alice, it's Sean again. I've been trying to get a hold of you.
Do I say, lock the door. I'll be back soon.
Fucking Sam. Sorry. Don't open the door. Don't let anyone in. Understand?
Gonna be okay.
Alice returns to the flat, as Sean nervously replaces the handset to the payphone in the hospital. Sean scurries away from the phone and hides in a corridor. Alice fills a kettle with water and listens to the messages on the answering machine.
Alice, it's Sean again. I've been trying to get a hold of you. Do I say, lock the door. I'll be back soon. Fucking damn.
Alice calls Sean's mobile. It rings on the table in the flat.
Sorry.
Sean?
Don't open the door. Don't let anyone in.
Alistair and Jamie are in the flat. Alice runs to the door.
No! Poor John.
Lock the door, Jamie.
Let me go, you bastard! Let me
lock the fucking door!
Jamie reluctantly goes to the front door. Alistair removes his jacket. Alistair is holding a gun in his hand when Jamie returns to the room. Alice is on the settee looking very frightened. Alistair then puts the gun down on a coffee table. The kettle Alice filled boils and switches off.
You're pregnant, aren't you, Alice? So, what kind of mother are you gonna be, Alice? As good as your mother? Oh, don't laugh. I'm not joking. I hate jokes. Remind me what she died from.
What do you want?
Was that alcohol, or was she just another junkie?
Fuck off!
Fuck off. I don't think so. Have you any idea why this is happening tonight? Have you considered why two people like us, different in every way, people who have nothing in common, would meet? I fucking abhor your empty life. It's repetitive, meaningless, grudging, never fucking ending banality. You can't see any of this because you're blind. You can't hear, taste, smell, touch. You're senseless, pointless. You are so fucking nothing. You're invisible.
Alistair.
And that, you pregnant bitch, is why I'm here. I love your invisibility. I mean, I practically fucking invented it. So, what is this child of yours going to do, Alice? The same as you? Nothing. Fucking nothing. Another starving, screaming piece of skin and bone that the state has to pay for. Do us a favor, Alice, and get rid of it.
Come on.
Shut up! You know what you need to do, Alice. kill the kid and then hang yourself from a long, guilty rope. How about that? How about you do us all a fucking favour, you piece of miserable, useless fucking shit!
Alice!
You can't talk to me like that! You can't! I told her I don't have the money!
Alice.
I'll pay, but I can't pay all of it!
Come on, Alice, do something! Become a somebody, because that's what you want, isn't it? To be a star?
Oh, stop, she's scared.
I said I'll go tomorrow and pick up the package. I told her. I said I'd do it.
Do it, Alice.
I said I'd go.
Come on.
He throws hot water from the teapot over Alice.
Fucking hell, stop it. Stop it, stop it. I mean it. I fucking mean it now. Stop. What is this? What the fuck do you think you're doing? Look at her. Why did you do that?
Are you serious?
Oh, I am serious. I am so very fucking serious. Please do not for one moment think that I'm not fucking serious, you cunt. It's over. This game is over.
I'm sorry. You're right. You're right, Jimmy. It's got out of hand.
Jamie holds the gun on Alistair as he bends down to Alice.
I'm sorry.
Alistair picks up his jacket, pushes the gun in Jamie's hand to one side, and leaves the flat.
Help me, please.
Jamie covers his ears with his hands briefly, then follows Alistair from the flat. Jamie and Alistair sit in the Maserati in a garage block outside the flats. Jamie still holds the gun in his hand.
I'm sorry, man. I had to stop you there. You were out of control. I mean, you could have killed her. Is this what normally happens? People get hurt like that?
No.
And this is real. This isn't a toy. For fuck's sake, anything could have happened. She could have pulled the trigger. I could have pulled the trigger. Then what?
It's over now.
No, it's not fucking over. We need to get her an ambulance. We need to tell them what happened. We need to try to sort this mess out.
We can't do that now.
But we don't have a choice.
Yes, we do.
What?
We drive away from here, we forget about what happened, and get on with our lives. Oh, the job. The job is yours, if you want it.
The job?
He puts the gun down.
No. Fuck the job. We can't just walk away from this. Anyway, she saw us. The kid, Sean, his friend, Sam, they all saw us.
Nobody cares about what they saw. They don't exist.
You're serious?
Do you really give a shit about her? The truth. Tell the truth. Do you?
Yes, I do.
You're so fucking middle class, Jimmy. So fake. Why the fuck would you care about her? She's already dead, you fool. Don't tell me it's about morals and souls and fucking angels. I mean, shit to that. Shit to all of that. If you don't like what you see, then you should do what the good book tells you. Pluck your fucking eyes out and...
He shoots Jamie through the head. Sean walks along the landing to the flat.
Die, you bastard.
Alistair puts the gun in Jamie's hand. Sean finds the flat door open. He cautiously goes inside.
Alice...
Alice?
She hides behind the settee.
What did they do to you, Alice?
She lowers a cloth from in front of her face to reveal severe burns from the hot water. Sean hurries over to her. Sean watches as the ambulance takes Alice to hospital. As he walks away from the flats, Sean meets the leader of the local gang with his face cut and badly bruised.
Still here. By the garages.
Sean spots the Maserati parked in the garage block. He darts out from between the garages and moves quickly towards the car. He picks up half a brick from the floor on the way. He comes alongside the car and opens the driver's door, wielding the brick. Jamie's body slides out from behind the wheel. He appears shocked and surprised at the gruesome discovery. He looks around, then pushes the body back into the car. He reaches inside Jamie's jacket and takes out his wallet. He reads a business card he found in the wallet. He takes the gun out of Jamie's hand and puts it into his jacket pocket. He drags the body out of the car and removes the long dark overcoat. Sean is shown driving through the city in the Maserati, dressed in a suit and tie. The shots alternate between him searching through the contents of the car in the garage block and driving through the city in the early morning traffic. He wipes away tears from his cheeks as he drives. He puts the mints the girl gave him at the bus terminal in his suit trouser pocket. He goes through Jamie's wallet, holding the gun, he gets into the car, and finally he pulls up outside Ethical Finance's offices. He enters through the revolving door. A security guard sits behind a desk facing the entrance.
Can I help you?
I hope so. I'm here to meet Jamie Stewart. Got some documents he wants dealt with today. He asked me to meet him here so he could sign them off.
There's no one in this morning.
He called me from here.
I assure you, there's no one in, apart from me and the cleaners.
I'm sorry, he called me from here. He got me out of bed. He shouted at me. He said Alistair'd go crazy if it wasn't done. You know how he is. I'm here. I've got the documents. Can I go and have a look?
I'm sorry. Like I said before, there's nobody here. They would have passed me.
Well, even if they were working all night?
I don't think there was anyone working late last night.
Because you'd have seen them on your rounds, right?
Right.
Look, between you and me, I don't give a shit. I get paid anyway. But he's up there, and he doesn't get these documents. And I tell him why. Well, you can imagine what might happen, eh?
The security guard dials a number from the switchboard. He picks up the handset and listens for a reply.
Wait here. I'll go check upstairs.
Sure. Wake me up if I fall asleep, yeah?
Sean takes a seat in the reception as the security guard goes upstairs. As soon as the security guard is out of view, Sean moves over and sits behind his desk. The computer screen on the desk displays James Stewart's details. Sean starts a new search by typing in the name Alistair. Sean glances up the stairs as details for an Alistair Bedford appear on the screen, including a picture, which does not resemble the Alistair he knew. An Alistair Toys details come up. Again, the picture bears no resemblance. Finally, with no picture, details for the company CEO, Alistair Raskolnikov, appear. Although with most information restricted, Sean does find a home address for him. The security guard looks down into the reception from the top of the stairs, but Sean has gone. Sean is parked outside 23 Newtown Avenue, the address taken from the computer. It's a smart townhouse in an expensive part of the city. A police patrol car pulls up alongside him. The driver lowers his window and gestures Sean to do the same.
Everything okay there, sir? Sure.
There's someone hanging out there. Looks like a shirt or something.
The boot.
Sean gets out of the car and goes to the boot. The two police officers remain in their car. He opens the boot. Jamie's body lies on the floor. His arm limply drops down as his trapped shirt cuff is released from the boot lid.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Have a good day.
He closes the boot, then walks around to the back of the property. He climbs a large wall built from irregular shaped stones, using the gaps between them for footholds. As he reaches the top, he spots two small girls playing in a neighbouring garden. He waves timidly to them. They wave back.
Mom?
The older girl runs to her mother, who is hanging out washing. She points to where Sean was, but he's taken cover in dense shrubbery. Sean looks at the back door to the house, and then a large sash window. He then checks his coat pockets and realises he's dropped the gun. He scurries back through the shrubbery, then alarmingly spots the two girls next door playing with the gun.
Oi, over here. Give that over here to me. Come on. Pass it over here to me. No, don't do that.
The older girl aims the gun at her sister. His mother looks over at them.
Gonna have to eat them all then. None for you. Come on. Give me the gun. You pass it, you
just... The girl swaps the gun for the sweets just before her mother arrives. The mother looks inquisitively at the small hole in the chain-link fence where the girls were playing. Sean stands at the back door to the house, looking in through one of the large glass panels. He tries the handle, then removes his coat and covers one of the panes of glass, then breaks it with the gun butt. He anxiously looks down the garden, then reaches in through the broken pane and unlocks the door. He opens the door and slips quietly into the house. He stands at the foot of a staircase that spirals its way up over several floors. A large ornate skylight at the top illuminates the whole stairwell. He goes into the downstairs front room, which is sparsely furnished. Four large black and white photographs hang on one wall. They all feature people's faces with their eyes closed. Sean leaves the room and slowly climbs the stairs. He treads carefully and quietly, with the gun held firmly in his hand. He enters another room that has a long dark wood dining table and chairs in. He looks at the obscure, dark and surreal modern art hung on the wall. He enters another room, then turns quickly, spooked by his own reflection in a large mirror. On the upper floor, he finds a small room with a neat and tidy desk sitting in the middle. On the top of the desk is a lamp, a telephone, a computer screen, and a framed picture of a woman with a young girl. Sean puts the gun on the desk and picks up the photo frame. He slides the picture out and finds it's just a folded page from a magazine, and the picture is an image used in an advertisement. Sean sits at the desk and activates the computer. He tries to open a file, but is denied. He then plugs in a remote hard drive that is password protected. After several attempts and some careful thought, he cracks the password. He's amazed to find a mass of information on him, Alice, his friends and associates. There are surveillance pictures, a copy of the final demand he found under Alice's pillow, and similar details held on Jamie Stewart. A shadow of a figure moves in the house downstairs. Sean creates an email list using everyone in the contacts on the computer. He attaches the file with the information gathered on him to the email. Sean turns to the door as he hears the stock market report coming from inside the house. He picks up the gun and goes to the door.
Out of control inflation.
The report comes from a television in a bedroom. Sean goes to the ensuite bathroom where a shower is running, although no one is to be seen. He goes out onto the landing and looks over the banisters, down to the entrance hall, where he spots a shadow moving across the wall. He starts to slowly come down the stairs. His foot gets caught on a nylon trip line across the stair. He tumbles down the flight. He jumps to his feet, picks up the gun and races down to the bottom. He spots Alistair briefly before he disappears through a doorway. Sean follows him into a dark basement. He tries a switch, but the light doesn't come on. Sean continues apprehensively down into the basement. He holds the gun out in front of him in his shaky hand. He swings around wildly, looking for the source of the noise. He moves a step at a time, deeper into the basement room. He passes a large wooden rack filled with bottles of wine. He turns and looks behind him just in time to see Alistair headbutt him in the face. He falls to the floor. Alistair jumps on top of him and pulls his arm up over his back. He grabs two of his fingers and bends them back. Alistair pounds Sean's head against the concrete floor, then picks up the gun and holds it to his head.
Look at me. Look at me. I want you to look at me. It was fun, wasn't it?
Why me? Why Alice?
Sean reaches out across the floor for his stone pendant that had come off in the struggle.
I win. You lose.
Sean cracks Alistair in the head with the stone on the leather lace. He jumps up and pulls over the wine rack. He races up out of the basement. He finds the first floor doors locked, except the front room with the black and white photographs. He goes to the window and tries to attract the attention of a man walking past with his dog.
Help! Help!
The man walks on by. Sean goes into the kitchen and picks up a long-bladed knife. He hears Alistair coming up from the basement. He quickly runs back upstairs, heading for the computer room. Alistair grabs his leg on the stairs. He kicks free and throws a knife at him before disappearing into the computer room.
Fuck you!
Sean sits down at the desk, his fingers hovering over the keyboard.
We've got it all here. Everything's here, ready to go. To be sent to everyone who knows you. See what you've been doing? The others? All the others. You hunted them. And you killed them.
Come away from there. Let's talk about it. Do it, Leo. What do you think?
He moves over to Sean and holds the gun to his head.
Put the gun down and step away from me.
Alistair kneels down and places the gun on the floor.
How much do you need?
A tear streams down Sean's cheek.
Why did you do that to my sister?
can give you more money than you ever dreamed of. I can do that quickly.
I need to know.
Doesn't matter now.
Oh no, it does. Really does.
Do we have a deal?
You tell me.
Alistair picks up the magazine picture of the woman and girl.
I did it because...
Yeah.
Because I could.
That's that. No other reason. All this. Tonight. Because... You could.
Let's make it rich. Do the deal.
No.
Sean hits the send button. Alistair tries to unplug the computer, but the information on his killing games is quickly transmitted. Sean leaves Alistair in the room and makes his escape. Kneeling down, Alistair rests his arms on the desk, breathing heavily. Out in the street, Sean gets worried looks from passers-by as he walks along with streams of dry blood on his cut and bruised face.
Half the kids who you grew up with were pushing prams by the time they were just 16.
As he walks, Sean fixes the knot in the leather lace and puts his stone pendant back around his neck.
With all their toys, couldn't see the signs we scorched our eyes with nicotine. And the grown-ups said, listen to your heads, but our hearts were crying out for heroes.
He rides down on an escalator at the station. A clock on the wall shows it's 9:05.
Now this song is about you. Now this song is...
He follows the sign to the left luggage area, where he walks past large banks of steel lockers.
Changes in your life. Changes in my time. And the reason you can't sleep at night. Changes in your mind.
He finds the locker where the money was left, but it's open and empty. He sits down on a bench and lowers his head into his hands. Bundles of banknotes drop on the floor in front of him.
It's all there. I didn't touch a penny.
He looks up. Sam stands next to him with two neat rows of adhesive strips across gashes in his face. The two boys pick up the money and put it into a bag.
Alice is at the hospital. She's going to be okay. Spoke to her. I didn't know Sean. They gave me some money, told me it was a game. I didn't know they were going to do that. I'm so sorry.
Sean gets up and walks away.
I'm so sorry.
He stops, turns back and looks at Sam, then continues walking. Sam follows behind him. A grey cloudy sky hangs over the city. The boys climb steep narrow steps. A sign at the top reads Jacob's Ladder. Sam walks alongside Sean. They nudge each other and begin smiling. The end.